Let's take our Bibles and turn to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. During the month of May, we have determined as elders of the church that we should spend some time looking at some issues of leadership in the life of grace. And in June, we will go back to John and we will begin again with John 4 as we make our way through the gospel. But we're taking just a pause in that series to look at some things regarding life of grace and leadership within her. And today we will read from 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll just read the first four verses of that chapter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word now, as we've heard your word read, make this word come alive in us by allowing your Holy Spirit to use the word that he originally inspired to teach us about life together in a body of Christ while we await the return of our chief shepherd. Teach us, Father, what your word says, because that would be best for us. We could come up with any number of ways of leading a congregation, but your way is best. And so teach us. Father, any way that we are not in line with your word, would you please align us, make us humble, and be glad to do as you have said in your word. Any way that we are right and we are in line, would you please strengthen that and encourage us and affirm the direction that we are going. Today, Lord, I pray that you would begin to open up our minds to think through and to think seriously about the issue of leadership in a congregation. And we would pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. I hope that one of the things that you gathered out of the reading of Ezekiel 34 is this: God takes very seriously those who take care of his flock. He does not think it a little thing how his people are treated, how his people are shepherded, how his people are fed concerning the ways of the Lord. And you saw indeed in Ezekiel 34 where the Lord says to those shepherds, not only are you doing a bad job, but I'm going to remove the flock from you. And I'm going to take over and I will shepherd the people. Now, we are living as a fulfillment of this, as the Lord Jesus is, as we've read in 1 Peter 5, the chief shepherd of the flock of God. He himself, according to John chapter 10, he himself gave his life as our shepherd for us, protecting us from the wrath to come. God is concerned about how his people are led, and God is concerned about how his church is led while we await the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that the Lord has instructed that there be two offices of leadership within his church. Those would be elders and deacons. Elders and deacons, as we make our way this week and next over those two areas. And we're going to see that there are lots of similarities between those two offices, but there's also one very distinct difference. And we'll see that unfold even today. And this is important to you because in just 2 weeks, you're going to be receiving, those of you who are members of Grace, you're going to be receiving a letter where we begin to ask you to prayerfully consider who you may nominate as an elder to lead in the life of Grace. And then 4 weeks after that, I think I have my timetable right, you'll receive another letter stating who is it that you see God would want to raise up as a deacon in the life of the church. And so we want you ahead of time, thinking about these things, praying about these things, informed about these things, educated about these things, because what you are doing affects the life of grace. Your nominations, this process affects not just yourself, but those sitting around you and those that the Lord will bring in the next year to come. And so this is a very weighty and serious matter. And so we want you to feel encouraged about, well, what exactly should I look for when it comes to nominating an elder? What exactly should I look for when it comes to nominating a deacon? And we hope to answer that question for you today and next week and the last week of May. Well, today, as you're looking at your worship guides or your sermon notes, you'll notice that I'm just going to sort of give you a brief overview to answer that question. When it comes to leadership of grace, elders, what kind of men should we be looking for? I want to give you five answers to that question. And some of those answers we'll spend a little bit more time on than others. Others will be shorter. And this will be something of an overview. It's my expectation that this is somewhat like an appetizer at a five-star restaurant. It's not going to fill your stomach all the way, but it's going to make you anticipate that there's more coming. And the rest of that more coming is you going home with some of the things we talk about today and looking in the Word of God for yourself, following up on what am I saying is true and beginning to pray about those things. And so this will not be, I hope, the last that you think about this issue, but just the beginning as we move forward in the life of grace. The first thing I want you to be looking for when you consider this question, what kind of men shall we be looking for as elders? The first answer is this: men who are born again and who love Jesus. Men who are born again and who love Jesus. Now, how many were with me when I read those four verses aloud a few moments ago in 1 Peter 5? And then how many of you heard the words born again or love for Jesus in those verses? None of you, because they're not in those verses, but they are in the beginning of the letter of 1 Peter. And if you will just maybe turn over a page or two and you'll look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, who is it that Peter is writing to when he's writing? Is he writing to a bunch of unbelievers? He is not. He is writing to those who may reside as aliens, those who are exiled, scattered throughout, but those who are according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, those who obey Jesus Christ, who are sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours. He's writing to those who have been born again in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us, he's using that collective there, has caused us, even you hearers, to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then going on down and you go to verse 8. And although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. When it comes to deciding and praying before the Lord, Lord, who is it that I should nominate? Who is it that you want as an elder of the congregation, the Grace Community Baptist Church? The first thing you need to start off with is somebody who is born again and loves Jesus Christ. If you don't hear that person speaking about Jesus, then don't ask them to be an elder of the Church of Jesus Christ. If you don't hear in conversations where they're talking about the Lord and they're talking about the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ gave up for their own soul, undeserved as it may be, if you don't hear that kind of language periodically coming from their mouth, don't ask them to be an elder of grace. If you're not certain that they are born again because they never talk about Christ, don't ask them to be an elder of Grace Community Baptist Church. This is not a popularity contest. This is not an election of one who has been around long enough and why it ought to be his turn. Please hear that. And I'm going to give you the reason why it's so important at the end of this sermon today. It'll be point number 5. Choose men who are vocal about their love and their faith and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and who make no bones about it. When you hear them pray, listen to their prayers. What kind of prayers do they offer the men of the church? I know that this seems to be a fundamental issue. And those of you, some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor Ken, that's just the assumption. Make no assumptions. Choose men who boldly believe, follow, and love the Lord Jesus, because that is the key for them serving as an elder faithfully. When you are beginning to consider what kind of men, ask yourself, which of the men do I hear talking gladly about the Lord Jesus? Which of the men do I hear praying with full hearts for the work of Christ, the growth of His kingdom, the movement of His Spirit amongst His people? So, men who are born again and who love Jesus, that would be a beginning answer to the question, what kind of men should we be looking for as elders? The second answer goes like this. If the first answer is men who are born again and who love Jesus, the second answer is this: men who care about the flock of GCBC. Men who care about the flock of GCBC. This is a step above men who are members of GCBC. Because you can be a member of a church, but not really care for the flock. Well, how is it that I'm going to know that a man cares about the flock? And where do you see this? I see this in the language of Peter as he's talking to those who are elders with him, that they are to shepherd the flock of God. The underlying nature there of that word to shepherd, that verb, is to care for, to provide for, to nurture the flock of God among you. And so how is it that I can discern or tell that a man may particularly care for the flock of GCBC? Well, the first indication would be that they would be caring through their presence. And that would be P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Not a present like you unwrap, but their physical presence. You know that a man's going to care about Grace Community Baptist Church because he's frequently with her. Lord willing, health abiding, a man who cares about the flock of GCBC is going to be with the flock as much as he can be. When there's Sunday morning worship, consistently, regularly, he's going to be there. In prayer meeting, he's going to consistently be there, praying, going before the Lord on the throne of God with the believers of Grace Community Baptist Church. When there's a fellowship, he's going to be there to enjoy and to laugh with those who are laughing, just as he will be there, if need be, with those who are mourning, to mourn with them. But somebody who is present. Look here in the text. It says here, in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God among you. You cannot shepherd, a man cannot shepherd the flock long distance by dialing it in. A shepherd has to be nearby, has to be with, has to be interacting with the rest of the congregation. Has to know what's going on in the life of the congregation because he's interacting with the individual members of the congregation. And so there is this caring through presence. And so one of the questions I want you to be asking, who is it that I see regularly present? See regularly present, regularly involved in? Who are the men in our church who are regularly accessible to talk to? Who is it that I know that if I needed something or something was going on, I needed to ask a Bible question, I needed to ask some advice, there would be these men who would be approachable, who I know that if I called or if I emailed them or if I went over to the house, they would be glad to receive me and not just push me off. Those are the kind of men who are giving evidence of caring for the body by just their presence and their interaction with the congregation, caring through their presence. They are among the flock. And those of us who are elders, those of us who may become elders, notice that the primary preposition there is not over. It is you are shepherding among the flock. You will be overseeing, you'll be casting your eyes above the flock, but you yourself are not above the flock. But you are among them, shepherd the flock of God among you. So there is this ministry of presence. There is also, so B for your outline, men who care about the flock of GCBC are caring through their presence. They are caring through selflessness. They are caring through selflessness. I want us to be thinking of Ezekiel 34, the passage that Monty read for us earlier. What was one of the main complaints that God had with the shepherds? They were in it for themselves. They were fattening themselves, and the people were going hungry. They were well clothed, but the people were being neglected. The shepherds over Israel had their eyes about what was in it for them. They were looking at their own self-aggrandizement. They were looking for their own prestige in the moment, and they were taken up in the position that they had, rather than taking the position that the Lord wanted them to have as the shepherds of their people, taking care of the needs and feeding the flock. So we should be looking for men. We should be looking for men who are selfless, who deflect attention from themselves and are constantly looking at how they could be interacting with others and taking care of the needs of other people. Who's interested more in what's going on in your life than you knowing what's going on in their life. So men who care about the flock of GCBC, caring through presence, regular attendance and presence and interaction with the flock of God, caring through selflessness, caring more about others than themselves. C, caring through feeding. Men who are willing to feed the flock of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, this is the one description that sets to the side the distinguishing mark between elders and deacons. Elders are expected to teach. They are expected to be able to teach. Deacons, as we go through next week and look at the qualifications, almost mirror images of each other, of elders and deacons. Mirror images. However, there's this one trait that stands out. Elders are supposed to be able to teach. In John 21:15, and there's that scene where Jesus is resurrected and he's come back to the disciples and he's walking along the shoreline with the three. And he and Peter have sort of separated themselves out from the rest of them. The beloved disciple John sort of following back behind them. But it's an intimate moment between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." And there's a word play on the word love. That's not the point. The point for this morning is, then Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Feed my sheep. Tend to the sheep." Now, Jesus was not referencing that somehow Peter should open up a soup kitchen and begin physically feeding people, although that's a fine thing. But that wasn't the point of what Jesus was saying. Jesus was wanting him to impart to the sheep the words that Jesus had imparted to them. The primary role of Peter and of the early apostles, the primary role of the elders, is to feed and teach the sheep. In Acts chapter 20, there's a great moment where Paul is saying goodbye to the elders of the church of Ephesus. And he gives them words of instruction. We're going to look at those, some of those, in just a moment. But in Acts 20:32, he commends them to God and to the word of grace, that they should teach the word of grace to the flock. It is through the word that the flock is nurtured and fed and strengthened, protected, disciplined, and comforted. You want men to be an elder who love the word of God, who read the word of God, who seek to live the Word of God and see the Word of God as sufficient for all that goes on in life. Who sees the Word of God sufficient for all that should come up in the life of individuals and in the life of grace. Elders are not concert promoters. Elders are not pageant coordinators. Elders are not party throwers. Elders are tasked to feed the congregation the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God. Even in a day in which we live, much like Paul warned Timothy, where people shall gather to themselves preachers who will tickle their itchy ears, who will scratch their itchy and tickling ears, we want elders who will stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord," because thus says the Lord. So you should be asking, who is it that, when we're talking, they mention a verse, and you could tell this is what I've been studying, or in their prayer life, when we have a public prayer meeting, and you know that they're using scriptures that they've been studying, and it's coming alive, and when they're given opportunity to talk, they're talking about, from the scriptures, this is what I see happening. Not just, this is what I see happening in other churches. This is what's happening because of a new program out of Nashville at SBC headquarters. But this is what we ought to do and be as a church because this is what the scripture says. These are the kinds of men that you want to promote, or not so much promote, but to nominate and to seek for as elders of the congregation. Those who are satisfied that all that is needed to feed the congregation, to grow His church, is the food that God has already provided for the lambs, and that is His very Word. These sort of verses ought to mark the kind of person that you're praying for. In Ezra 7:10, Ezra, the priest, had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach His statutes and ordinances in Israel. Acts 6:4, the apostles giving the model for elders. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Paul writing to Timothy, the elder, one of the elders of the church, the pastor, and one of the elders of the church in Ephesus, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. All of this is in the shepherding, to be with the flock, to think about the flock, not yourself, just as Christ was willing to give Himself up for the good of the flock, Himself being the good shepherd. So we are mindful of the flock, and we are among the flock, and we have it in our mind to feed the flock. Would you be a good shepherd if you didn't care whether your sheep were being well fed or not? What would happen to the sheep if you didn't feed them? They'd die. They'd get diseased. They'd get lean. They'd become slow and easy prey for those who are seeking to devour them. No, the role of the elder is to feed. One of the primary responsibilities of the shepherd was to feed the flock. So there is this caring through their presence, caring through selflessness, caring through feeding. And then the shepherd had another role. They gave care through oversight. They gave care through oversight. Not oversight as in neglecting. Sometimes we do that. If something was left out by oversight, well, if something was really being overseen correctly, it would not have been forgotten. And that is the sense of the word here in verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. We are to look over the congregation in two different ways. One, we are to look over them to see if there is anyone that is sickly. To see if there are any of them that are weak, that need strengthening. Is there any that have wandered off, that need to be gone after and rescued? Is there any with some needs that need to be paid particular attention? And so there is a willingness to oversee the flock, to look at the individual lives, and to ascertain what may be needed in their life according to the Word of God. How do they need to be comforted according to the Word of God? How do they need to be instructed by the Word of God? How do they need to be disciplined by the Word of God? How do they need to be encouraged by the Word of God? Elders taking a look at the individual members of the flock and seeing how they are. Remember the verse in Ezekiel 34:4. When God condemned the shepherds because those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you dominated them. Look for men who already are exhibiting that shepherd-like quality where you see them coming alongside the lives of others. listen, there may be a good and godly man who loves the Word, but in the way that they have been hardwired by God, they just don't see other people. It's not that they're being rude. It's not that they're uncaring, but they just don't notice what's going on in other people's lives. That's probably someone who's not meant to be an elder of the church. Now, they may be able to be other usefulness in the life of the church, but you want to be looking for men who are already involving themselves in the lives of, who are already manifesting this shepherd's heart, though they may not have the title of elder. But they're already exhibiting, I care about other people, and I'm inviting them into my life, I'm inviting them to my home, I'm always, you see them maybe counseling with another quietly in another moment, or praying with others, or asking others, hey, have you noticed that so-and-so hasn't been with us for a while, is everything okay? Or, hey, I found out that brother so-and-so is not feeling well and needs some work in his yard, why don't you and I go together? That's the evidence of a shepherding heart, looking over the flock and trying to meet those needs. So you want to look for a man who is willing to oversee the lives of others and take note of what's going on. There's another meaning of this word oversight, though. And it is to look beyond the flock, to look for dangers, and to look for safety. The shepherd could not always just simply look at the individual sheep as they were around him. He also had to lift up his eyes to see if there were wolves in the horizon. He had to see if there were lions and bears who would perhaps pose a threat to the flock. And then he had to prepare the flock for what was coming, or he would have to defend them himself for what was coming. He might would have to move them to another pasture if a pasture was running dry. If the elder is just simply looking at the individual individuals and not looking at the whole, and look, oh my word, there's this need. We're running out of grass over here, and we they're getting thin. We've got to change course here and go to a new pasture. And so maybe it is that the life of the elder has to look over what is the overall need of the congregation. Where do we need to move them to for their own good? Where do we shepherd them and move them for their protection and for their feeding? Overseeing dangers, warning the flock. You all need to know that there are those out there who say that Jesus Christ was not God, but simply a man, a moral example for you to follow. And if you're perfect like him, then you too can go to heaven. Did you know there are people like that? Of course you do. They knock on your door and they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. You need to know that there are those out there that are teaching that have sort of evolved from professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to moving to a position of, well, your Jesus is different from my Jesus, to a position of actually all religions lead us to God, to a position of advocating the secret of life is the principle of attraction, where if I have certain thoughts, I can attract things to myself, to now moving to a position of New Age enlightenment in which each of us are God. There are people like that. You know that? Her name is Oprah. And some of us blindly watch her because she makes us feel emotionally comfortable. But her books of the month, the authors that she promotes, dangerous to the church. You need elders who are watching the horizons and being willing to teach the flock, be careful, be forewarned. This is what the Word of God says, and when you hear otherwise, reject it. Oversight. Think of men, pray for men who have the ability to discern the culture that they live in, the trends, the things that are said, and who are willing, by the Word of God, to oversee the flock and give to all that she needs. Men who care about the flock of GCBC, with their presence, with their selflessness, with their ability to teach and feed the flock, with their ability to oversee the individual and the corporate flock of God. Third, what else should I be looking for in an elder? Men who were born again and who love Jesus. men who care, who shepherd the flock of GCBC. Third, and perhaps rather quickly, men who are willing to serve the Lord in this way. Men who are willing. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, and in the New Testament, elder, overseer, episkopos, presbyter, all those are the same word for the one office of the elder. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. It's not wrong to be willing to be an elder of the church. Now, that willingness needs to be married with the observance of the qualities of an elder by the rest of the congregation who comes along and says, yes, we see this in you. But there should be a willingness. We see this here in verse 2. Not under shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. So there should be no arm twisting to make somebody be an elder. Just know this. I don't do that. And so if you're tempted in any way, and Kenny Monroe, I'm going to just choose you for a minute, if I can pick on you. Let's say this nomination process comes along, and there are a few of you who have nominated Kenny, and he's sort of said to you, no, I really, you know, I don't feel led of this. Don't come to me and say, Pastor Kenneth, if only you'll just talk to Kenny for a while and get him to see, it would be good for him to do this. I'm not going to do that. I will not arm twist. I will pray with Kenny. I will be glad if Kenny says, Pastor, can I have some questions? Can we talk? I will be glad to do that. I'll be glad to bend my knee with him and seek the Lord's will. But I will not say, Kenny, you really ought to do this. I'm going to say, Kenny, if the Lord is leading you, then we should move forward. No arm twisting going on. It should be willing, voluntarily, according to the will of God. Not so there is this issue of pure motives here, not for sordid gain. You don't want to be an elder just because you can say that you're an elder of the church. You're already ruining your witness as an elder with that sort of attitude. Elders are humble, not prideful, not self-seeking. But there is an eagerness. If this is the Lord, if this is the way the Lord could use me, if I could be of use of the Lord's kingdom in this way, then I'm willing. So there needs to be, in the heart of a man who's being asked, there should be a sense of, I get to do this, and not, I have to do this. Eager to serve God in this way. And then notice also, not lording it over others. Verse 3, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples. Those who will be men who practice what they preach, willing to go where they are asking the rest of the congregation to go and being willing to go there ahead of them. Leading by example, which brings us to number 4. So number 3 is men who are willing to serve the Lord in this way. That is very key. Men who are born again and who love Jesus, men who care about the flock of GCBC, men who are willing to serve the Lord in this way. 4, men who are exemplary in their manner of life. Men who are exemplary in their manner of life. Look there at the end of verse 3. Proving to be examples to the flock. The way they live their life is an example of what it means to be a Christian. That's the kind of man you're looking for. Listen to this. I want you to go home today, tomorrow. Look over 1 Timothy 3:7. Titus 1:5-9, but listen to some of these words that describe an elder. Above reproach. A one-woman man. Temperate. Prudent. Respectable. Hospitable. Able to teach. Not addicted to wine or pugnaciousness. That is, fighting. Could you imagine having an elder who's given to fighting? That Paul would even have to say this. The Holy Spirit would even have to say this to the church. But not addicted to wine or pugnaciousness. Gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. Manages his own household well. Children under control with all dignity. Mature in their faith. So you probably don't want to ask somebody who have submitted their life to the Lord Jesus Christ last week to be an elder the following week. You want somebody with some maturity leading the church. Maturity in their faith, not a new convert. A good reputation with those outside the church, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word of God. Now, I want to ask you, as I just rambled through those rather quickly, do you notice something, anything about those words? They describe the normal Christian life. Not super Christian. Elders are not perfect. Would you say that with me? Elders are not perfect. They're not going to be perfect when you call them to be an elder. Don't expect them to be perfect as you're considering. Elders are not perfect. There was only one perfect man on the face of the earth, and who was it? Jesus. So we're not looking for perfect men. But what we are looking for, as we look at that list of qualities and characteristics, we are looking for men who are showing maturity and consistency in these areas. And men who, when it is shown to them that they are not living up to the standard, are quick to humble themselves, confess, and repent. That's the kind of heart of a man that you're looking for in an elder. So those of you who may be nominated, and you say to yourself, or you say to me, when you, or one of the other elders, as you're seeking out advice, and you just say, I'm not good enough. I'm going to have two statements to make to you. One is, you're exactly right. I agree with you. But why do you say that? I agree with you because none of us are perfect. But now, if there's a particular issue in your life, then maybe that's a moment of some discipleship and some iron sharpening iron that we need to come together on. It may just be that you're under a false sense of what it means to be good enough to be an elder, and that needs to be corrected. Elders are not perfect. They're not super Christians, though they are mature and consistent, willing to admit their mistakes and give humble repentance. So as you're going through those characteristics and those verses that I give to you, I fully expect you to go home and read those verses and to pray over them. Be thinking, is there a man in the congregation who models this that perhaps, to make it maybe touchable, tangible question for you, is there a man in our church that I would want my children to imitate more than me when it comes to following Christ? That might be a good beginning point of thinking about somebody. There's a man in our church that I would want my grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews to imitate maybe even more than me. Because over in Hebrews 13, it does talk about leaders being imitatable. We want them to follow after the Lord Jesus. But the leaders of the church are to be imitatable as they themselves are imitating Christ. Men who are exemplary in their manner of life. Proving to be examples to the flock, according to verse 3. Now, why are all these things important? Why is it that we are looking for this? Why is it that we are setting, that the Lord has set, they are high standards. They are. They're not unreachable with the power of the presence, the strength of the Holy Spirit. They are attainable. There are men in the church that God has given us who can fit this bill. But why is it so important that we look after them? And not make it into a popularity contest. Why is it that we see that the issue of elder is not just the next step up after you've been deacon 3 times? So if that's in your thinking, get that out of your head. Because there are certain men who are gifted to be elders, gifted to be deacons, but are not gifted to be elders. So it's not an assumption that just because somebody has been a deacon 3 times in a row, that now they're automatically promoted. Up to elder, so to use that language. I don't see that as up to the different activities, different offices within the body, but that might be our fleshly way of thinking. No, they're different. Why is it important to get this issue right for elders? Because of the fifth answer to the question. Men who are born again, who love Jesus, that's who you should be looking for. We should be looking for men who care about the flock of GCBC, men who are willing to serve the Lord in this way, men who are exemplary in their manner of life, and fifthly, men who understand their primary accountability is to God. Men who understand their primary accountability is to God. According to verse 2, whose flock is it? It's God's flock. You're not my flock. If you were my flock, I could do with you whatever I wanted. But you're not my flock. You're not the flock of John Heller or Butch Watson or Ken Johnson. You belong to God as His treasured possession. And the man that you seek to be an elder of the church must understand that. If you fear that a man that you are thinking about, they meet the other qualities, but you're concerned that once they become an elder, there's a power trip coming, don't nominate them. If you've heard a man to say, well, when I become elder, this is the way things are going to be. It's not the heart of an elder of the flock of God. In verse 2, it makes it very clear that the flock belongs to God. But then in verse 4, there is this understanding that, and when the chief shepherd appears, you under-shepherds have somebody to answer to. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Any and all? No. Those who shepherd the flock correctly shall receive the unfading crown of glory. Over in Hebrews 13:17, we're going to look at this at the last week of May. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. You want men who understand, who go to sleep and rise up, who have their elders' meetings, who make decisions, who pray through decisions, who are on their knees seeking God. What do you want to do in your flock? What is it that you want us to, where is it that you want us to lead your flock? Because we are going to have to give an answer to you one day about how we led your flock as elders. So, don't nominate somebody as an elder that you don't want answering to God for you. This is the opposite of a position of high prestige and accolades. To be an elder is a position of great weight. Because we are not listening for the congratulations and attaboys from the congregation. We're not listening, nor can we, to the attaboys and congratulations of the community around us. An elder must understand that he will give an answer to the Lord. That is the one that he is most concerned with. So don't nominate. I'm just going to be, how many of us are flesh and blood? So it would not be uncommon for flesh and blood to say, well, I think I'll nominate, I'm going to use Kenny again because I put him on the spot already. I think I'm going to nominate Kenny Monroe because he pretty much does whatever I tell him. And whatever I tell him, he'll take to the elders and influence the church that way. You don't want a man to be elder who does whatever you tell them. You want a man to be an elder who does whatever God tells them. Now, wise elders do listen to the flock. A wise shepherd listens to the hungry bleating of the sheep. Oh, it must be time to feed them. Something's going on. I need to pay attention. And so let me pay attention and see what I'm supposed to do. But first and foremost, the elder of a church, as he listens to what's going on, must have wisdom to discern, is this an issue that affects the one sheep? Is this a real issue? Is this an issue that's just going to last 5 minutes? Until something else comes along. Is this an issue affecting one sheep? Is this an issue affecting the whole flock? Then what is the right role for us as elders in the congregation to respond to this issue? What is it that we are supposed to do? Because we know that God is going to be holding us accountable to them. So you want a man who does listen to to you, but who listens to God more? Who am I willing to nominate, knowing they will endure giving an account to God? Who will I nominate because they listen and look more to Jesus than to men? And now as you go home and you begin to pray, Lord, who are men who already exhibit these qualities? You are looking for men, not who are going to get there one day. You are looking for men who are already there, exhibiting these qualities, to be recognized by the body as an elder of the church. I would pray, I would ask you, I would more than ask you, I would plead with you number one, not to take these matters lightly. Because I believe, though the Lord does oversee even the casting of lots, I do believe that your participation in what is going on in the life of grace has eternal significance. It also has temporal significance. The day-to-day life of grace. So I would pray that you would take it seriously and not wait until 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now when you get some sort of form in the letter and decide that, bang, bang, done and be over with it. Spend some time with the Word, with the Lord. Take some time praying about this. And then secondly, I would ask and plead with you that for those who are already elders of grace, that the congregation would pray for us, that we would be these kind of men. Let's pray. Lord, we say and we believe and we feel that we have a certain love for this body. But that love pales in comparison to the passionate love that you have for this body. And in your wisdom, according to your will and purposes, you and your word have outlined this office of elder to give leadership to the life of the flock, your flock. Make us to be a people to seek out your face, to desire elders in the way that your word has described. Make us to be a people willing to accept such elders. Who will pray for them. Who will encourage them. Father, I pray for those men that you may be even now preparing to at least be willing to be asked. And may this season of praying be a time in which each individual man is praying to you, Lord, would you have me to be ready to be asked? May we not nominate lightly, and may we not be nominated lightly. We thank you
for the elders that we do have at Grace. And yet I know the four of us, Lord, have a great sense of desperateness for Your leading. For Lord, this is Your church. We thank You for the words of hope that we find even in this passage, that the chief shepherd shall one day appear. And we know that when the chief shepherd appears, His flock shall be gathered to Himself. Oh, we thank You for that. We thank You even for the promise, the covenant that You made even in Ezekiel, that we are living out even now, that You Yourself have become our shepherd, leading us with love and with mercy, with grace, with determined discipline when necessary, but even that to grow us, to prove Your love to us. We thank You that the flock, that this church, is Yours. That we are Yours by faith in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.